Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
I'm on you, bees. You are listening to the Brentford Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joining in the studio with the Besotted podcast team, Dave, Laney Lane and Liberal Nick. Let me tell you, they have tremendous squad depth. Every week I get to meet someone new, this time Liberal Nick, and the nicknames, they just keep getting stronger and stronger. Pleasure to have them both in the studio. So much for us to go over. Obviously, Brentford losing to Sheffield Wednesday on the weekend 2-1. So many times they get this run, they get this momentum, then they're undone by what at the minute seems like an away victory, a narrow one as well, losing to Blackburn Rovers, this time Sheffield Wednesday, especially after that brilliant 7-0 victory. We're going to be talking to Jim Levack on the phone later. He joins us and looking towards that Cardiff City game on Wednesday night. But Dave and Nick do join me. It's been a roller coaster of a season so far. Firstly, how are you both?
Yeah, not bad actually. Yeah, sorry, a bit of skullduggery, a bit of thieving's gone on before the game, before the match tonight rather. So my phone's been stolen. So anyone that's expecting a phone call from me, it's probably not going to happen later. So yeah, no. But apart from that, yeah, Brentford is, as you said, it's a bit of a roller coaster. We seem to get a really good win or a couple of wins, and in a game that you think in technically we should be getting something out of, we get nothing. And you know, we spoke on the show last week and we spoke on the podcast and we kind of thought, well, a draw's going to come our way. We've either won or lost on our travels. A draw's probably, you know, as about sort of like the, you know, the odds, the average is going to come, and we're going to get 1 point. But you know, we couldn't hold out, Nick.
Yeah, but what you need is your reserve team. I mean, this is, I think, my first appearance this season. You know, Christmas, busy period, lots of games coming up. You know, need to mix and match, need to bring in the subs. And, you know, they brought somebody off the bench with a bit of experience tonight to be able to contribute some views. You know, sadly, Saturday wasn't that good. Looking forward to Wednesday and Saturday at home this week. It should be a good week for me personally, as well as the team.
Absolutely. Well, that's the beautiful thing about the Championship. You can get over a defeat quite quickly, because you have a game always just quickly around the corner, this time on Wednesday to Cardiff. Well, it was a strange game on the weekend because obviously Brentford lost, but in the sense that if we're going off that first half, Brentford absolutely dominated. Shame that they couldn't get a second or put Sheffield Wednesday to the sword, because in this game, you're never out of it. You know, 1-0 is always a dodgy scoreline, but especially in this division, Dave.
Yeah, you know, we saw the team news just before kickoff, and obviously Pontus Janssen and Henrik Dalsgaard were missing, so we brought Jean Vier back, and we gave a debut to Mads. And you know, on the first half showing, it didn't really affect us too much. But I think once Wednesday had gone in at half time, just the one down, and I think Gary Monk was able to sort of like speak to his players and tell them to up the intensity, and they did. And but you know, from where I was, you know, it looked like we were coping with it. They were certainly on the front foot, and we did get away with a couple. But you know, the goal when it came was a handball from Rico Henry, which
was it a handball?
It was an absolute stonewall handball. You couldn't have been any more of a handball than that. And it, you know, it was just why did he do that? Obviously he sent someone coming in from behind him, but I just thought he could, you know, the way his angled, his hand was angled, but he could have chested it or could have headed it. So it was almost like a, you know, an involuntary movement. And you know, his face, while you know, the penalty was being prepared, was a picture. You know, he knew that he kind of, you know, change the game.
Well, Nick, you mentioned it there, maybe in jest you said, was it handball? But Thomas Frank spoke about it after. He said it was a strange penalty for him. So do you feel that maybe...
Well, I think Dave used the word involuntary, and I would agree. You know, it was a reaction. The way I saw it, Henry, it was the clearest
handball you've ever seen. Why he did it, I don't know. I mean, you know, it didn't look deliberate, but it was a deliberate, you know.
It's a good job we're not at Stockley Park, isn't it? Because we'd still be arguing about VAR decision now, you know. But
I'm always up for arguing penalties that they never were against us. This one, mate, this was a penalty all day long.
But I think going back to the important point, I mean, you know, you realise when on Saturday how important Pontus and Henrik Dalsgaard are to us, actually. You lose two professionals like that with the experience, the knowledge that they can bring to a team, and you're already sort of fighting perhaps half a goal down rather than a whole goal down. And I think it is vital that Brentford need to think about who is it that offers that experience when you've got those two senior pros out, because what I saw was people playing around. There was none of the leadership that I think we've seen over the rest of the course of the season.
You're spot on. You know, take those two out the equation, we haven't got it. It doesn't exist. You can't look for it elsewhere when it isn't there. And you know, going back to penalties briefly and VAR, you know, we kind of joked that VAR would have still stood, but later on in the game there was a definite pull in the area on one of our players and possibly a handball. And you kind of like, when you don't get VAR, when VAR technology isn't there for you, you know, you kind of assume that once that moment's gone and it's not given, you kind of just forget about it. But the VAR means that up to 2 minutes after, up to 3 minutes after, you know, what you thought was, you know, just waved away can actually be pulled up and brought back. And you know, it does make you think, like, how seasons in the future, when technology is going to come our way, things might change for us.
Heaven forfend. Well, I mean, I really, really hope we don't get VAR in the Championship.
Really, you know, Nick, not for you.
I am not a fan of VAR. It really disrupts the game.
Can I ask why?
Because of the disruption to the game. And over the course of a season, you're going to get some decisions that go with you. You're going to get some that go against you. It's not going to do anything to really improve the fans' experience. You watch some of the Premier League games, and listening to game yesterday, and I can't remember which one it was. I think it was the first game of the season. First game of the day yesterday. I was driving somewhere, and there was a delay of 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes, while they try to work out a VAR, whether it was or wasn't needed. The VAR, you know. And people were in the stadium. They didn't know what was going on because the screens had gone down. Nah, not for me.
Not going to shoehorn this one back in. This genie's not going to go back in the bottle, I'm afraid. I think, you know, it's gonna spread. It's not going to be binned anymore. But you know, they need to make the right decisions and they need to make them quicker. And I just can't see once you put the human, you know, the adjudicators in it, it's gonna get prolonged.
It's a good job we're moving to our new stadium, because at Griffin Park you have VAR, you know, you'd find the camera was hidden behind a pillar or something, so you'd never get the right decision, you know. So Lionel Road will definitely be set up for VAR, if nothing else.
Yeah, we've heard about the big new screens that you're going to have next year. Well, no VAR, disappointment maybe or not, if you're Nick, on the weekend. What was disappointing? We spoke about the first half dominance, but then for Brentford to concede two goals in 4 minutes, that was sort of the nail in the coffin there, wasn't it, Dave?
It's galling because, you know, as I said, we look like that we've really survived the first wave, and you know, Jean Vier looked decent. I thought, you know, Raya looked, he got away with a couple of, it wasn't a fumble, but he kind of pushed a cross come pass out into the danger area, as it was, and there wasn't a Wednesday striker lurking there, so we did kind of get away with one or two instances, but I just thought that we'd start to up our game, and offensively we'd soak up some more possession time, but we just kept giving the ball away, and up front up until probably the last 10-15 minutes, maybe, yeah, 5-10 minutes, we just weren't in the race this second half, and we did create chances late on, but it's just, you know, it was clear that we had nothing. We had luck was out.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that, Nick, and I want to ask, because he says, you know, we weren't at the races in that second half, because Brentford really did fade in that second half. But the interesting thing from the Luton game, when you won 7-0, Thomas Frank said, look, it was 5-0 at half time. The thing that pleased me was we didn't concede, but our concentration stayed for 90 minutes, because, you know, sometimes teams go on and they get a consolation because teams just naturally take the foot off the pedal because the game's all but won. Here, he just said, completely different. You faded a little bit, and they didn't match that intensity for 90 minutes, Nick.
Goes back to what I was saying about them missing the two senior pros. You know, you would have had Dalsgaard, you'd have had Pontus screaming at the defence, screaming at the midfield, you know, get in there, start playing, you know, keep the pace up. Didn't have any of that. It's always been a problem for Brentford over the years, actually. I regularly have complained that the defence never seems to talk to each other. And actually, you never hear, we stand quite close to the front of the ground, and you can actually hear the players talking and shouting at each other. And over the years, Brentford have been one of the quieter teams in the division. You can hear the other, and that was obviously something that lacking again on Saturday. A bit of the old leadership, bit of the old bulldog spirit, you know, let's get into them, lads, let's go for it. Didn't hear any of that.
Yeah, especially annoying when it was a team that was in and around you, Sheffield Wednesday, because now they leapfrog you after the back of this result, Dave.
Yeah, they do. It does show you how tight it all is up there. And, you know, it's disappointing because, of you know, as we said, we've come off the back of a really incredible 7-0 win. And you hope that you can at least come away with a point from Hillsborough. And because we've been so good on the road this year, you know, maybe 3 points. And going a goal up on, you know, through Brian Mbeumo, you know, it kind of got us a little bit perky, and you saw that we were in the playoff positions at that stage. So maybe we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. I think that's probably the brutal truth of it. We haven't got as many options as we would like up front. We're completely and utterly reliant on Ollie Watkins for goals. Well, I know Mbeumo, you know, hauled in with another one, but we've really got nothing on the bench offensively. So, you know, we are looking to kind of limp through to January to get, you know, two of our players back, probably. Divasoglu and Force from Wimbledon. I think that they're both, you know, we need them both back. But we'll find out a lot on Wednesday night, Cardiff in town. It's a different Cardiff to the one we're used to. Neil Warnock's not there anymore, so maybe we'll probably get maybe a little bit more chance of winning rather than manipulated out of it.
Well, it is Neil Harris. They are going through somewhat of a new manager bounce at Cardiff at the minute, the former Millwall man. Before we hear what the fans had to say after the game, there is some important news, because obviously former Brentford coach Brian Sparrow sadly passed away, Dave.
Yeah, the club announced it today that he died on Friday, Brian Sparrow. He was one of the four coaches we had under Ron Nodes. He came in, so it was Brian Sparrow, Terry Bullivant and Ray Lewington, as well as Ron Nodes, for a short period of time, 2 or 3 years. Brian was a real character. He was a real footballer. Proper, as I said, he's a real storyteller. We interviewed him for Besotted, just off of Oxford Street one lunchtime, and we printed the interview in the fanzine. And he was just one of these people that made you laugh. He knew everyone in the game. He was a right Cockney character. So he'll be sorely missed by his friends and his family. So yeah, just our respects go out to him and everyone that knows him.
Yeah, absolutely. Thoughts with Brian Sparrow's family at this time and all Brentford connections there. Well, it was the Sheffield Wednesday defeat on the weekend, and here's what the fans had to say after the game.
I think the problem is that, you know, they got Fletcher and they got some experience up front, and I think where we do miss out on away games is that someone else to hold the ball when times are tough in the second half. First half, we played really well. Could have been 2 or 3... clear, but I don't know, once they went 2, I just couldn't see us coming back in the game. So hey, you know, we're looking at the bench, we still haven't got the strength there we need. But
I think it churned on that handball by Rico. I think up until that point we were in control of the game. I didn't see them scoring a silly handball, and they're back in the game, and then for 5-10 minutes they're on top, we're struggling. But disappointing, as you say, very disappointing. I thought the defence were you know, again, in control, never looked in trouble. I have to say, Mads Horsnev looked took to the game very well, very calm. Certainly wasn't overawed by it, and had a very good debut. Not sure what to say, Bill. It's disappointing that we conceded 2 goals second half. Before that, I thought we were looking very much in control of the game. I thought we might get the second, in fact.
Bizarrely, I've not said this for a long time, up until the point that Jordan Rhodes came on the pitch. And I thought that changed things for us. I thought we looked a little bit more lively after that. There was a bit more momentum about our performance. I honestly feel like we deserved to win that game. Mainly on the basis of the fact that your second half performance was just so anonymous. But I don't know, it's one of those where we just talk it down and go, do you know what, we'll take it, we will absolutely take that.
It was a very poor penalty to give away. That was absolutely woeful, and I think I'd have been furious if I'd have travelled up like you and seen that. But you know, it goes against us most of the time, so it's quite nice for it to go for us. I think we've leapfrogged you now as well, so we're back into the playoffs. Obviously, come the end of the season, we'll be in League One probably, but who knows if we get... It's what's the top you can get, 22 point deduction. So for us, it'll probably be about 64 and 12 match ban for Forestieri.
Love Sport. You are listening to the Brentford Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the Besotted podcast team, Dave Laney Lane and Liberal Nick. We were just talking about that disappointing, frustrating Sheffield Wednesday defeat on the weekend. Sheffield Wednesday leapfrogging Brentford into those playoff places, but it is still December. A long way to go, many twists and turns. Well, we just heard from the fans as well. They were talking about being, you know, that leapfrogging by Sheffield Wednesday. What did you have to make of it, Dave?
Yeah, I thought the Sheffield Wednesday fans and the Brentford fans were quite honest there. Yeah, I think, you know, the lack of experience when once we're a couple of players down, I think that again, you know, the penalty was just a gift, and you know they scored very soon after that, so they really did sort of strike while the iron was hot, as it were. We'll hear from Thomas Frank in a little bit, but I think more importantly, we just put that behind us. I know we can't keep saying that, just like let these defeats go. But I think we have to be a little bit realistic. Is, you know, we as long as we're 2, 3, 4 points away from that playoff place, that gives us a brilliant springboard for the second part of the season, and it's up to the club really to kind of give us a shot in the arm, or give the team a shot in the arm in January or just before January, because we have got two important players that are there for us to maximise their availability, and there's a transfer window, and we've probably got money available if we want to go and boost ourselves elsewhere. I mean, it's hard to see what more we need in terms of defensive when we're all fit. In midfield, we've still got a couple of players that we're kind of unsure of, whether it's Jensen or Norgaard or Mococho. There's De Silva. There's options there, and out in the wide positions, if we do get Davutoglu and Force back in the set, like what could be cover for the centre forward position, Watkins is able then to go out wide, which he, you know, that was his accustomed position for the last couple of seasons. So we have got options, but it's whether we're close enough to those playoffs for them to really go for a bit more experience. We've seen the difference it does make when you've got someone like Pontus Janssen that comes in, and you've got Dalsgaard now, who's just signed a longer term contract at Brentford. So I think they might be tempted to kind of push for a little bit more experience if we're in touching distance.
It's the away form that's the issue. I mean, you know, we've lost the last three away, and that's what happened previous seasons as well. You know, we just couldn't get the away form right, and that was what was pushed us out, just out of the playoffs, or even just challenging for one of the automatic promotion places. And I wonder what it is. I mean, you know, I am absolutely 100% behind Thomas Frank and absolutely behind all the coaching team, but there is just something always in the Brentford psychology. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's the tap water on the coach or something that travelling up to the game, that just means that we cannot build a consistent form of wins away. It's happened every season.
We've lost six now, and we've won five.
Yeah, so but we've lost the last three aways.
Have and, three? You know,
yeah, it's crazy. No draws as well.
No draws. No. Yeah. I mean, you know. We've lost, you know, we lost the old goal and stuff. So
jog,
I mean,
yeah, memory. Not... What was the third one? So we Blackburn, and then
we lost Blackburn. We lost. Sorry, I do apologise. It's two away, Huddersfield is two away. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yep. I was forgetting. I was missing the Wigan one. It's very easy to forget about Wigan. Apologies to all the Wigan fans out there listening. Yeah. So I'm sorry about that. But it's still actually my point still stands. Actually, is that we are inconsistent away from home.
We are consistently inconsistent. Full stop. I don't think we quite know what we're going to get. You know, we still play beautiful attacking football, and when it works, it's prolific, and when it doesn't work, we lose 1-0 or 2-1, and it is frustrating.
And of course, the big debate is, you know, would we rather have watched that fantastically beautiful football every game, or would we actually prefer sometimes, particularly on those trips up north, stereotype again, digging in and, you know, grinding out the 1-0 result. Personally, I'd rather watch the brilliant football all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I would agree. Well, we heard what the fans had to say. Let's hear what manager had to say, Thomas Frank.
It's irritating me so much that we didn't get something out of this game, which we 100% should have done, especially after the first half performance, which was, very solid, very strong in terms of playing away from home. Even I think there's a bit we could improve first half, but we were on top of the game, giving nothing away, closed the crosses down, played with a nice high line, winning the duels, winning the second balls, and produced the goal, and actually more opportunities to potentially score a second one with more sharpness. Second half is a disappointing half, I would say. I think we was a little bit in between a lot of things, so we didn't win enough second ball. So we didn't get control of the game. And I think when we had the counters, we should go for them because there was so much space in the middle of the park where we should go, and we knew that, but we didn't take our chances in terms of playing them big enough. We didn't have massive big chances, but we didn't take them to make them big enough. And other times we just lost the ball too quick instead of being a little bit, we missed that coolness. Then we conceded the penalty, changed the momentum in the game, and we need to be more switched on, or what you call it, more focused, and know just the next 5 minutes, okay, don't go forward, settle down, make sure we're smart, and we're sleeping, you know, in a split second on a quick throw. They produce a cross, and their most dangerous man was free in the box, so we need to do that better. Last bit was that the last 5-7 minutes we actually were cool and created what we should have done, more passes than team create opportunity. We should have done that in the first 40 minutes even more. So if I should say something, more coolness, more awareness, you know, and solidness in the second half. We should, you know, okay, if we can't, you know, I'll play them, okay, then a little bit more compact in the situation, because it was an open game. And because of an open game, then we just lacked that quality to close it down. Of course, we wanted to play with two of their two most experienced players. Of course, we want them on the pitch. But first half, we didn't miss them. Of course, we missed them, but we didn't miss them. And the boys who played stepped up. But of course, you need two players like that in the second half, and there's a little bit pressure on the team. That's where we could have used them, of course. But that happens. Every team get injuries, so we just need to handle it, and other players need to step up. In moments, I think they did, but second half, we need to do more. The first starting debut in front of a big crowd, a difficult place to play. I think he's like the rest of the team, was extremely good first half. I think second half, I think actually he still did well. Still, you know, a lot of one-on-one situation with Harris, he actually controlled that. Those situations good. And then maybe, you know, maybe in the end of the game he lacked a little bit extra physical power to continue what he's done. But of course it's the first start. So overall, I must say well done to Mats. But okay, we know we showed that we are a good team, and good teams, they bounce back, and we need to be on it and be ready for Cardiff on Wednesday. Also, thank you to all the fans that travelled today. I am very disappointed that we couldn't give them at least a point today, but the fans are massively, and we are getting up to speed at Griffin Park, and we need to be on it and attack on Wednesday.
Thomas Frank there saying the team wasn't mentally switched on. They were second to all the balls, you know, they have to be on it this week in what is a big week, Cardiff on Wednesday and then Fulham on the weekend, which is a sellout at Griffin Park, Dave. Huge game on the weekend.
Big game. Is very, very clever of Thomas there to be speaking whilst mowing the grass. He sounded like he was on his fly mow. He can't really argue with a lot he says. He's very, very honest, and you know, it's good of him to, you know, give props there to the travelling Brentford support. They were frustrated as they came out of the ground, because it's just, you know, just scratching our heads thinking, you know, why can't we just go on a roll? I think it's important that we we are able to get at least one of those, Dalsgaard or Jansen, back for Cardiff. They're an experienced team. Let's not forget they came down from the Prem last season. I know they've had a change of manager. It will be a slightly different style, I would have thought. And you know, as you said, they've got a bit of a new manager bouncing going on there. I'm not so concerned about that. I think, you know, most teams will come to us and struggle. It's up to us to create chances, and I think we will create enough to win the game if all, you know, all being well. But the Fulham game on Saturday, that's a biggie. That is something we're all going to get excited about.
Yeah, definitely get all excited about. Nick, I want to ask you, because weirdly, a couple of the Fulham guys who work here at Love Sport saying, oh, really nervous about this Brentford game. They always seem to beat us, and obviously they just lost to Bristol City, so it's interesting. Oh, Fulham is a big one, but the Fulham perspective is they don't want to face Brentford at the minute, Nick.
No, and who would at Griffin Park? Brentford have been playing really solid and really good football. I mean, what both Cardiff under Neil Harris will have, and Fulham, is that they actually do play football, and we play better against footballing teams, and they normally crack in games, so there's no reason. I mean, Neil Harris, I've got a lot of time for. I think he's a good manager, and I'm glad that he's, you know, wasn't long out the game after leaving Millwall in a very honourable way that he did, and I think Cardiff have picked up somebody very bright there. Fulham, but you know, the games against them are something special at Griffin Park, and this will be our last league match against Fulham at Griffin Park.
Yeah.
And by gosh, you know, the crowd will be absolutely baying for it. I'm glad it's been a sellout well in advance of the game. I'm surprised it took us even up to the last week to sell out. And I'm really looking forward to it. I think it could be one of the crackers of the season, this game.
That a defence needs to be on their A game. You know, they've got a striker there that's too good for the Championship. And, you know, he's filling his boots, isn't he, so far this season?
The good news is it sounds at least Pontus will be back. I think Pontus was ill on Saturday, sick on Saturday. I don't know what the latest news is on Dalsgaard, but Dave's exactly right. You know, we need the defence to be absolutely on their A-guard. But the good thing is as well, is I think the defence actually at home feel more confident. I don't know what it is. They get a lot this year as well, I've noticed.
Maybe it's the tap water at Griffin Park.
Could be the tap water at Griffin Park. I don't know whether Dave would agree with me as well, but I think this year as well, the crowd are so fully behind the team. And there's less of the sort of them. You don't hear any moaning at all, even when we're struggling, you know, for certain sections of the game.
Let's just remember that almost all of our squad are under 23, apart from a couple. So I think it's only natural that they do feel more comfortable in the home environment. They're all learning. This is the most of them. This is the first, you know, a lot of them. This is their first experience at this level. So going to these big away grounds is kind of like it's a big thing. I'm not saying they're overawed because we haven't rolled over and taken a beating off of anyone. It's just that, you know, I just think that in my hearts of hearts, I think next season we're going to be ready for a push, but you know, you've got to take it when it's there.
Dave, just very quickly, obviously we know the game's a sellout to Fulham, we know you're excited, Nick just spoke of it there, you know, we're already looking forward to it, one eye on it, but it is Cardiff on Wednesday. Is there sort of two questions here? Is there a case that the players maybe are looking to Fulham themselves and not concentrating on Cardiff, or B, on the flip side, do they know how important this one is for the fans on the weekend, because it is the last time they'll play Fulham in a league game at Griffin Park?
Yeah, I think that the coaching staff will have them 100% focused on Wednesday. I don't really think it's an issue. I think once that's out of the way, then, you know, we'll obviously use it as an excuse if they get beaten on Wednesday. Don't get me wrong, but I think it's, you know, cliche, one game at a time, and I really don't think that's an issue. I think Peter Gillam and the fact that we went away to QPR and we put on such a really good show, that I think that they'll be bang up for the West London. They won't get too overexcited. It is just another game. However, I think that they all know the magnitude of it.
When we went away to QPR, you could tell that the people who knew Brentford inside out had told the players how important it was. I think they'll instill that spirit of Brent Fulham, but we're too professional to ignore Cardiff on Wednesday, and nobody is doing that.
Well, hopefully, because Thomas Frank said they wasn't mentally switched on or at the races against Sheffield Wednesday. They're going to need to be against Cardiff and Fulham. Well, delighted to say Jim the Gooseman Levesque is joining us next to talk about a whole host of things the week ahead and clubs selling their grounds. He's with us next.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Brentford Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Besotted podcast team, Dave Laney Lane and Liberal Nick. And now we get to speak to another brilliant star. Jim the Gooseman is with us. Jim, disappointing result on the weekend. What did you make of it?
Disappointing, yeah. A few plus points, though. I thought Ruud's level was absolutely superb, really one for the future. And him and Rakic, you know, they really are sort of proof that our B team is working. I think it showed that, you know, without two experienced players, then we are prone to sort of lapses in concentration a little bit. I mean, the Henry thing was just silly. I mean, it was just a natural instinct, I think. I wouldn't read too much into that. But to then let another goal in sort of within 4 minutes, I just think, you know, that wouldn't have happened with Pontus on the field. He'd have been talking. And that, you know, it's a learning curve for them. You know, as long as they learn from it, take something out of it for next time, then, you know, then we're moving forward.
Evening, it's Dave here.
Hello,
how are you?
Dave.
Yeah, good. Yeah, thanks for coming on. Got a couple of questions for you, really. The first one is there was talk yesterday on Twitter about Dervisoglu that Sparta Rotterdam may be sending over one of their coaching staff to try and persuade Brentford to allow him to stay in Rotterdam for the rest of the season rather than join us in January. And obviously, there's Marcus Force, who seems to be knocking them in with regular frequency for AFC Wimbledon. There's some talk that we will bring one of them in, and we may let the other one stay out. But are you of the mind where we kind of need all our aces? We need every goal scoring potential player with us rather than bitting out on loan. Where's your mind on that one?
Well, can I just pull you up on one thing first, David? It's Dervisoglu.
Oh, okay, mate. My Turkish isn't my strongest point, I'm afraid.
Yeah, the whirling dervish. All right. But yeah, I would call both of them back purely because, you know, it gives us options. It gives us the option of pushing Ollie out to the flank if it's not working through the middle. And you know, I was wrong about Ollie. He's really improved at centre forward, and he holds the ball up a lot better now. But I do think that if Dervisoglu is a natural centre forward or playing off the front, and Force is clearly sort of a clinical fox in the box type player, isn't he? And likes to run at people, which is, you know, something that maybe we haven't quite got. And I just think it gives you more. You know, yeah, they will miss out on the benefit of developing in League One or in a decent sort of continental league. But, you know, we are really the only team up there in the top half with one recognised sort of centre forward. And I say that advisedly because initially I didn't think he was. But as I say, he has proved me wrong. So like Liberal Nick, I can be wrong sometimes too.
Thanks, Jim. An evening to you. Hope you're well, mate. Just a quick one. If you think that we're all right covered in the striking, what do you think about our defence? You thought the new guy was all right on Saturday. Do you think we need any strengthening in that department? Midfield? What are your thoughts on that?
I personally don't. I actually think we're all right at the back. You've got Henry, you've got Janvier, Pinnock, who, again, I had my reservations about after one or two games, but well, particularly the first game, which was a bit silly of me, really, because, you know, they've worked on him and he's now a lot more composed on the ball. You've got Jansen, and then you've got Dalsgaard, Rakic, you know, you've even got Sorensen and Ruslev. So, you know, I sort of thought, ooh, I winced a little bit when I saw Ruslev in the starting lineup on Saturday. But, you know, he was close with Norgaard to man of the match for me.
Yeah, no.
What did you find his real strength was?
I think pushing forward. I mean, he's quick, he's rapid, and you know, when you consider that it's only his second game, really. I mean, you know, there's a lot to come from him, but obviously they've got to manage that. They've got to manage the young players, and you can't expect that level every week. So if they're going to bring somebody in, I think, you know, maybe a bit of experience, but then you've got the problem across the back of keeping people sort of focused, because you've got lots of options.
Yeah.
Not too many.
A question that kind of comes off the back of that, Jim, is like you say, you know, have we got used to just making do? I mean, we never have all the options. We just take one or two, you know, and there are clubs in this division, and this is like the second part of, you know, what I wanted to ask you about. You've got clubs like Sheffield Wednesday, you've got Aston Villa last season, and Derby County, you know, able to bring in people like Rooney. I know it's a complete waste of money from the way we look at things, but they don't make do because they go out and they just buy a squad that's like bloated in terms of numbers and wages. We do the right thing, you know. We don't sell. We got two stadiums we could sell. We don't sell either of them, you know. And we try and stick to our FFP obligations. You know, you saw Neil Morpay scored a great goal against Arsenal last week. He scored another goal yesterday against Wolves at the Amex. You know, that's what we're missing by having to do the right thing. It's not right, is it?
I think you've answered your own question, really. I mean, it makes me laugh, you know, when you sort of listen to the pundits and Brentford don't get a mention when Morpay's playing for us. So it's just Morpay's doing quite well at Brentford, banging some goals in. You know, Sawyer's hardly got a mention. Goes to West Brom, everyone's raving about him. You know, and I think it is funny. It makes me laugh. And, you know, for me, I think it's great that we're still under the radar. I think even if we were top four, we'd still be under the radar.
But the more serious point about selling the stadiums and the shenanigans that are going on.
Well, you know, in the same sort of note, really, I think were we to do that, we'd get absolutely clobbered for it. And I think the authorities need to crack down hard with hefty sanctions against this, because, you know, if there's a law there or a loophole, then it needs to be plugged. If they've deliberately breached it, then that for me isn't in the spirit of the game. And people will say, well, it's not a game, it's business. But, you know, for me, I still see it in the traditional way that it is a game and it should be a level playing field. And I think we do things the right way. And to be honest, do you know what? I'd rather sort of fail and do it properly and the correct, sustainable way than a lot of these big, bloated, as you say, clubs. I think it's atrocious, and the sooner they crack down on it, the better for me.
You're getting sound like me, Jim, as a traditionalist, you know, and we'll be wanting to play on muddy playing fields as well next. But I have to agree with you, because, I mean, you could almost argue that in the Championship now it's rigged. You either got teams who come down with huge, great payments from Premier League relegation, and, you know, that gives them 3 years safety on financial grounds and they can buy what they want, or you've got the teams who are up to selling their grounds and doing financial transactions, which are interesting, I think is a word one could use. You have Brentford, and there are four or five other clubs who will be knocking around the middle to the top half of the Championship, who are playing with one hand tied behind their back. It really does annoy me that the EFL doesn't actually look at this and actually look to even up the ground, the way that teams are battling for this. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the very fact that we are still considered a smaller club, almost an uninvited guest at the party, which is great, again, I think that were we to do it, we would get hefty sanctions. I really do believe that. And I think it's because it's supposedly big clubs like Sheffield Wednesday and Derby doing it, they just almost turn a blind eye.
There is talk, there's rumour, it might only be rumour, there's the 21-point deduction coming their way, and although they did sing on Saturday, we're Sheffield Wednesday, we do what we want, hopefully it will be proved that they can't do what they want, and, you know, I'm probably, Villa have got away with it by getting promoted.
Yeah, you talked about parachute payments there, Nick. You know, well, what's that all about? I mean, is it, you know, that's a sort of payment for failure. So basically, you go up and you get this massive windfall, and nine times out of ten, you can successfully build a bloated football club, but it doesn't always work. Look at Stoke, which brings me back to my initial sort of point. I'd rather do it the way we do it and not go up. If that's what it means, then I'd rather sort of, you know, be competitive And I still pinch myself now that we're in the position we're in. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And we're doing it the right way.
Absolutely, Jim. Real pleasure to hear what your insight and what you had to say. Thanks for giving us a little bit of time this evening, Jim the Gooseman there. Well, it is Cardiff on Wednesday night. Delighted to say we'll be joined by another special guest, this time Tom Taylor, Cardiff City blogger, will be joining us next.
Love Sport.
That's right, it is time for the opposition view. You are listening to the Brentford Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the Besotted podcast, Dave Laney Lane and Liberal Nick. We just heard from Jim the Gooseman there. What a brilliant insight that was, just to talk about the clubs and the way they're building at the minute and the way they're spending, financial fair play. Really interesting insight there. Well, we are going to be speaking to Tom Taylor, a Cardiff City blogger, in just a moment. But before we get Tom on, I want your thoughts on the game. This Wednesday night clash, it is Cardiff. We get the Fulham one out of our mind. Dave, what are you predicting here?
I'm probably going to go for a draw. I think we are going to get a reaction. I think it will be a positive. I mean, Griffin Park under the floodlights is just an incredible experience. You know, it's still a very modest ground, but there's something magical that happens underneath those old fashioned lights, and you know, it is something that we're only going to see a handful of times more before we leave. So I'm actually going to get in there a little bit early tomorrow, Wednesday, and just have a look around me, because as I said, we've probably maybe only got three or four games more left. So you know,
under the lights.
So yeah, so it's something I'm going to go in and savour. It'd be a really good atmosphere. I think everyone will have a couple of cold drinks before the game tomorrow, probably drinking responsibly, and they will obviously get a little bit vocal, and I think that's what's needed, and that's what's really good about weeknights. You know, you come straight from work, you go down the pub, have a couple with your mates, get on the terrace, or you find your place in your seats, and you sing for the bees. And I think, you know, as I said earlier, I think now that Warnock's not there, I think we stand a better chance. We're not going to get that kind of chess game that he's capable of pulling off against us. You know, I'm more confident now he's not there.
All right, well, we'll tease it somewhat. We'll hold off on Nick's thoughts and your score prediction, because I'm delighted to say Tom Taylor has joined us now, Cardiff City blogger. Tom, thanks for giving us a little bit of your time this evening. Massive match on Wednesday, but Cardiff are having somewhat of a new manager bounce under Neil Harris, aren't they?
Yeah, it's been so far so good at the minute. I mean, the performance wasn't the best on Saturday, but we really woke up in the last 25 minutes or so, and we're not lost yet, and we're looking as if we're starting to put a bit of form together, a little bit of a run, which is something we've not done all season really, and yeah, hopefully long may it continue.
Hi Tom, it's Dave here, thanks for joining us. So what's the difference between Warnock and Harris? What is there anything significant changed?
Not particularly. I mean, they've got it's still a similar style of play. Harris said not long after he was appointed that he wants to try and implement a new philosophy and style of football, but I've not massively seen it yet. But there were signs of it on Saturday. We were starting to play it a little bit more across the floor, still hoofing it long at times, and there's some obsession with the left-hand side, which I don't get. But the signs are there, and hopefully it's something that will build as the season goes on.
Hi mate, it's Nick. Who have we got to watch out for? Who should our defence fear on Wednesday night?
I think in attack, probably our most dangerous player is Nathaniel Mendes-Lang, winger. He didn't have his best game on Saturday, but he was our only good player against Swansea in the derby, which wasn't very hard because it wasn't the best game. But he made Trent Alexander-Arnold look silly when Liverpool came to Cardiff last season. And he's a real threat going forward, and he's definitely one to keep an eye on.
As Cardiff fans, you said about hoofing it long, and you've seen a continuation of the Warnock style. Is that something that bothers Cardiff City fans? Do you care about the way you play? Because without us getting all on our high horses, we're quite we're very proud of the way our football team plays at the moment. I'm not saying which way is more or less effective. It's all about in this division, it's about being consistent, and you're probably more consistent than us. Having been in the Premier League last season and come down, do you think, was there ever a feeling that that style has gone as far as it really should, and it's about time you changed it, or are you just happy with, you know, the way you play?
I don't mind it personally, because we don't have the players at the moment to really try and implement anything else, bar Lee Tomlin probably in midfield. We're not too creative, and I don't mind it myself. There have been instances when fans have been getting frustrated because it's fairly predictable of what's coming next, and it doesn't always work, and it's just playing it long out to the left hand side, and then it becomes easy to defend against then. And so there are a few who get upset at times, but I don't think it's too pressing of an issue with Cardiff fans.
What would be success for you this season?
For me personally, I'd love a playoff place finish. It's going to be hard because there's so many quality teams a minute, and it's really, really close. There's only 2 or 3 points in it with a load of teams, really. But no, absolute dream for me would be a playoff place. I think first and second is more or less there, more or less confirmed with Leeds and West Brom. So yeah, a playoff place would be brilliant.
And while I've got you on, I don't get an opportunity to ask this kind of thing, but, and it's a bit of a contentious question, really, but Emiliano Sala, there's obviously that situation going on at the club where they haven't paid any money for him, or not enough money for him, or whatever. You know, the fans got behind the funeral and respecting him and that at the time. What's the fans' opinion about what's going on with that situation?
I think it's... It is a little bit frustrating because there's been a lot of stuff on Twitter from other fans saying that we're a disgrace and whatever, and we should just pay off what we owe. But it's worth noting as well that he never actually got international clearance after he signed, and then he went back to Nantes, and then unfortunately the plane came down. So it has had a bit of a toll, and I did fear that it would end up going this way, unfortunately, and it's just a shame that something so tragic has happened, has been drawn out for so long, and it's nearly a year now, and there's still court cases and stuff of who owes what and who owned the plane and who arranged everything, and it's just a bit upsetting to see the response this way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate you answering that, thanks.
Yeah, it is tragic and upsetting. Tom, just quickly though, on the game, what is your score prediction for Wednesday night?
I don't think it'll be easy. I think it'll be really tough, but I'm going to go 1-0.
1-1, Tom, getting splinters there, sitting on the fence. But we appreciate you giving us some time, Tom. Genuinely, thank you. Tom Taylor there, Cardiff City blogger. Well, Nick, now I want to get your thoughts on the game. I asked Dave, it's a tough one. It truly is on Wednesday, a test.
Absolutely. Got a battle back from a defeat, but we arrive on the fact that we did a 7-1 shellacking of Luton last game.
7-0.
7-0.
Nick, come on. Three losses, you said earlier.
I know,
7-1.
Sorry, it's been a long day. It's been a long week.
VAR. We'll let you off.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed. 7-0 we beat Luton by, 7 cracking goals they were as well. No, I think we shouldn't expect anything like that on Wednesday night, but I think there's no reason why we can't win. I'm going for 2-1.
Just the 6.
2-1. Just the 6. Dave, your prediction is...
Well, he's nicked my draw. 1-1. I'll go 2-2 in that case.
All right. 2-2 and 2-1. Hopefully Brentford get the 3 points. Just quickly, is there any plugs or housekeeping, Dave?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've ran a competition recently to give a couple of tickets away for the Fulham game, which we got. Which is a sellout. So we'll read out all the content and the competition winners on the Thursday podcast. Thursday morning we'll record the normal midweek podcast after the Cardiff game, so that'll go live first thing on a Thursday morning. So look out for that.
Absolutely, look out for that, and hopefully your name is drawn and you will be going to the Fulham game on Wednesday. It's Cardiff on Wednesday. You're at your own award show next Monday. Hopefully, we're fingers crossed where Brentford will win.
Know.
Yeah, no.
And also one thing as well, brilliant Christmas present. Laney, Legends of Publishing, produced a book about Harry Curtis, our greatest ever manager at Brentford. Look it up on Twitter. Really worth buying the book.
100%. Where else can we get that, Dave, very quickly?
Through the club shop. It's or legendspublishing.net/Brentford. So go and check that out.
Please check that out, legendspublishing.net. This has been the Brentford Fan Show, as it is every week on Love Sport Radio, every Monday, 8 to 9. We will see you next week.
Go on, you bees.
Bees.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.